Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath evening. We want to thank you for coming to the gospel service. We're very glad to see each one that has been able to come along and gather with us. We're going to stand in a moment or two to sing our opening hymn, the hymn 301. As is always the case on these special occasions, the dedication of little one, we ask the parents, or we invite the parents of the child been dedicated to choose the hymns for the service. So Richard and Grace have chosen all of the hymns we're going to sing tonight. So the hymn 301, what an encouragement it is to our hearts. Standing on the promises of Christ our King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. So the words are on the screens, and we're going to stand and sing all of the verses together, please. Together in prayer. We'll just settle ourselves and settle our hearts before the Lord. want to seek his help and his blessing to be upon the service tonight. Our God and Father, we lift our hearts to thee, thankful for the privilege that we have. Lord, we pray that we'll ever be conscious that we're entering into thy presence, that we're approaching the sovereign God of all the universe. We want to pray, Father, from the very beginning of this meeting, that we'll know the Lord is here, that we'll know the Lord is with us. We pray for a real sense of the Lord's presence. We ask thee, Father, to come and fill the house tonight. Come and fill it with your glory. We want to pray that you'll come and reveal yourself to us. Remember the cry of Moses, if thy presence go not with us, then carry us not up hence. Lord, we have a great longing, a deep desire, as we come to your house tonight, that we'll meet with God, that we'll meet with thyself. We ask, Father, that this will not just be another meeting, another service, but we want to pray, Father, it'll be time that you'll come and speak to our hearts. We pray you'll come and speak from your word. We want to pray, Father, that in the meeting tonight, that we'll be conscious of eternity, that business will be done in this house tonight for eternity. We pray that souls will be challenged, souls will be spoken to. We want to pray, Father, that you'll ever give us that burden, that vision of lost souls. Save us, Father, from being apathetic and indifferent to those that are still out of Christ, those that are still lost in nature's darkness. We want to pray, Father, give us that burden that Paul had. He told us in the book of Romans that he had a great heaviness. And Lord, give us that burden too, especially for our family members that are out of Christ. We want to pray that we'll be diligent and earnest in our efforts in reaching others for the Savior. We want to pray, Father, that you'd use us, each one, as soul winners. We would cry out with Paul, remember how he prayed, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. And Father, our heart's desire and prayer to thee for our families, our loved ones, is that they might be saved too. We want to pray that you'll save in this meeting. We want to ask, Father, you'll save us from unbelief, deliver us from that wicked heart of unbelief, as Paul described it in the book of Hebrews. We pray that you'll increase our faith. We ask thee, Father, to bring us again to days of blessing, to soul-winning times. We want to pray that you'll turn the tide spiritually in this land of ours, in the days in which we live. We want to pray, Father, that you'll do work in the hearts of men and women. Remember that your word says that you'll turn the hearts of the people again to thyself. And Lord, we ask thee to do that. We rejoice, we're encouraged, that we know that we come to the one who is the unchanging God, that no change Jehovah knows. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We thank you, Father, for that great knowledge that your love for us is still the same, that your power, that great power, the almighty power of God, is not diminished. And Lord, we ask thee to come, display your power amongst us in this service tonight. Pray that we'll feel and know the power of God upon the meeting. We pray, Father, we'll see the power of God at work once again in this land of ours. Come, Father, and work in mighty power, mighty revival, blessing, even amongst us. We pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to come in such a way that many will be swept into the kingdom of God. So we pray, Father, in the meeting tonight, that you'll shut out every thought and distraction of this world, this life. And we pray that for this little while, you'll help us to be taken up with spiritual and eternal things. We pray that we'll live even in the light of the judgment day, that day when we'll stand before the judgment seat to give an account of the things that have been done in the body. We want to pray for our families. Bless the families of our congregation. We're so conscious, Father, of the difficult days to bring up little ones in the things of God. We think, Father, of all the wicked influences that are brought to bear upon children, and we want to pray that you'll help the parents of our church as they bring up their children, the fear, the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. We've been singing together, Father, of the promises. We rejoice in every promise of the book of God, the promises that are sure, they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You've told us, Father, to bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. We thank you, Father, for that great promise. We claim it tonight for the families, for the children of this church that have been taught the truths of the gospel and your word from their very earliest days. We pray, Father, that every child of every family will be brought to Christ in salvation, that every child and every young person of every family will be those that will walk in the paths of righteousness, even for thy great name's sake. Remember the Quinn family tonight especially. We pray that they particularly will know the nearness of the Lord, that they'll be blessed and encouraged. Thank you for your hand upon the family in recent weeks and how you've strengthened them again. We praise thee, Father, for that, for prayer answered, restoring them to health and to strength. And we pray, Father, that this for them and the family that are gathered will be a very special occasion. We pray, Father, it will be one of those nights long to be remembered when heaven comes down, our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat. Hear our cries. We offer them to thee tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together from the Scriptures. We're in the book of Proverbs this evening, and it's Proverbs chapter 27, the 27th chapter of the Proverbs of Solomon. Remember, the book of Psalms and then Proverbs comes in right behind it, just before the book of Ecclesiastes, also penned by Solomon. So it's Proverbs chapter 27. We're beginning to read the first verse. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the chapter together tonight. So let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The fool's soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So we're ending our reading just there tonight, the close of the 12th verse. And our prayer is that the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. It's always a joy to have a dedication. The children and the young people are a vital part of every church. There was a famous American pastor that said that children and young people may not be 100% of your church family, but they are 100% of your church's future. And how true that is, it's a very important statement, it's a very important truth to keep before our hearts and our minds. And we're thankful for all of the children, all of the young people. We're always glad of their presence. It's nice to hear the children in the house of the Lord. So we're very glad of the dedication that's going to take place tonight. As you know, this was scheduled for a few weeks ago, but circumstances overtook us. So we're thankful for prayer that has been answered, for his hand upon the family, for strengthening them. And we're glad that everything has come together and everyone is able to be here for the special dedication of little Annie Grace tonight. So we're going to conduct that dedication just now. We'll come down to the front. We'll ask Richard and Grace and all of the family, if they want, just to come up to the front here. We're very pleased that the Lord blessed you with a little girl after all of these wee men. And I'm sure she'll be spoiled by our big brothers in days to come. Just to read to your hearts some appropriate scriptures for a time such as this. The words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And then the words of the psalmist, the latter part of the Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And then from the New Testament scriptures, Mark's account of the Saviour blessing the little ones. They brought young children to him, that's to the Saviour, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And then finally one verse from the Epistle to the Ephesians. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Lord will bless these further readings to all of our hearts tonight. Richard and Grace, in presenting your child here this evening for dedication, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Recognizing that children are the heritage of the Lord, do you now sincerely give this child back to the Lord and dedicate her to God and his will? Do you promise to bring this child up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, and by precept and example to teach her the great truths of the gospel? Thank you. Would the congregation please stand? in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to his command when he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God," I hereby receive this child, Annie Grace Quinn, and dedicate you to the Lord and his will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen. That's just a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, we do seek thee, thankful for the blessing of being in thy house. Thankful, Father, especially for the dedication of this little one. We do thank you for the Quinn family. We praise thee, Father, for your hand upon them just in recent weeks, the strengthening touch that they've known. We thank you, Father, for their love for thee, for the things of God. We think of the great blessing that all of these children have of been brought up in a Christian home where both their dad and mum know and love the Saviour. Father, we want to pray for our land, and we want to ask that you'll add many more such Christian homes to this land in coming days. We're conscious, Father, that that is the need of the hour. But we think of the blessing, Father, of these little ones been brought up in the gospel from their very earliest days, even as Moses said in this passage that we read from, "Thou shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thine house." What a blessing for children at home to hear and to be taught the word of God. So we want to ask, Father, give Richard and Grace the help that they need in coming days. We're conscious, Father, of the darkness of the days spiritually and morally in which we live. Give our brother and sister great help. We pray that you'll give them the wisdom that they need. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Want to pray, Father, tonight, and we pray unitedly, earnestly as a church and as a congregation for this family, that the blessing of God will rest upon them in coming days. The blessing of God will rest upon their home, their family, upon all their efforts and labors for Christ, that you'll bless them as they bring these little ones up in the things of God. We thank you especially tonight for little Annie Grace. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon her mum through the pregnancy. We thank you for the birth of the little one without any difficulties, complications. We thank you, Father, for the birth of a lovely, healthy little baby girl. What a blessing you've bestowed upon this family. We want to praise thee, Father, for that. And we want to ask tonight that your hand will be upon this little one from her very earliest days. We think of what we've read in your word of the Savior. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And Father, we could ask for nothing more, for nothing greater tonight, than that you would put your hand upon this little one, and that you'll bless her. May it please thee to bless her with health and strength. May you please to bless her with long life. We pray, Father, that you'll bless her with gifts and talents. But especially our prayer is that you'll bless her spiritually in the things of God. We want to pray that you might be like Samuel of old. Remember, when he was still a child, you called him to yourself in salvation. And Lord, we ask that you'll do that for all of the children of this home. Remember them, each one. We pray for Charlie, for Bobby, for Freddie. Lord, we thank you for every member of the family. What a blessing our families are. Put your hand upon all of these children. Bless them, each one. Continue to bless them, Father, with health and strength, and to bless them in the things of God. Give to all of the children of this home a love for thy house and a love for the things of God. So, Father, hear our cries this evening. And as we think, Father, of the birth of this little one, we want to ask that even in this service tonight, that the second birth might take place. We pray that God will come and work and move by his Spirit, that some soul here might be born again. So we ask thee, Father, to hear our prayers and abide with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just want to just turn around slightly and look in that direction. Thank you very much, Ken. God bless you all. We are very glad to have each one that is present with us tonight. We want to thank you for coming. We have some visiting with us tonight, particularly for the dedication. We have members of the Quinn and Gibson family circles. We're always glad to have you with us. We appreciate the opportunities to renew fellowship with you, each one. So we want to give you a special word of welcome. Over the last few years, we've met a number of times. This is the fourth dedication, as you know, in the Quinn family. So we're very glad that you're with us this evening again in the gospel service, and to all that have come to share with us tonight. Remember the meetings through the week. Tomorrow night at 7:30, the meeting of the Kirk session here in the church. Tuesday night at 6:45, the two children's meetings, the meeting here in the hall downstairs, and also the children's meeting in the band hall down in Killalea. Do remember those meetings, as they'll be drawing to a close just for the Christmas break into the new year. And we're very thankful to all of our leaders and workers for their diligence, for their work among the children, especially this year in very, very difficult circumstances. Remember Wednesday, 3 in the afternoon is the radio broadcast, Radio Star Country, 981 Medium Wave, and then 8 o'clock at night is our midweek service. It's a missionary deputation. Miss Joanne Greer from the Ballymena Church will be here to report on her missionary labours in Liberia. Some of you might remember that Joanne came to visit with us. She has been here since, but when she first went out to Liberia, so that next March, March 2022, which is only a few months away, it'll be 10 years from our sister first went to the land of Liberia in West Africa. So she's going to be reporting on her labours and the vision that they have there for the future, particularly with relation to starting a Christian school. There will be a missionary offering at the close of the service. We invite you to come. It always encourages the missionary if there's a good number present. And do come prepared to give to that missionary offering, please. Friday night at 8 is our youth fellowship. That'll be the final meeting of the fellowship just before the Christmas break. And I'll be along to speak to the young people at the service myself. Next Lord's Day, the 12th of December, Sunday School and Bible class is 10:40. 11:30 the morning service, 6:30 the evening gospel service. That will be our special carols and scripture reading service in the lead up to Christmas. And some of the young people will be taking part for us in the service. We always look forward to that. And I'll be preaching myself, God willing, at both of those meetings. Monday week, Monday the 13th, is the next meeting of the church committee, just to remind the members of that. Remember Mrs. Hill in your prayers following her surgery just at the beginning of the week. She got home on Thursday. We're thankful for that, that she was well enough and had made such a good recovery. Pray for the Lord's continued healing hand to be upon her sister. And Mrs. Peggy Mitchell, remember Peggy, recovering from those injuries that she received. Keep in mind the literature that's available, particularly thinking of the Christmas season. Some of the literature may be appropriate for gifts. The daily reading book that Dr. Barnes produced, based on the messages of the late Dr. Alan Kearns, very nicely bound in hardback, £15 per copy, and the proceeds to the Deborah House in Romania. Remember the paper pulpit, the volume 3. There's copies of it available, all the proceeds going to the mission board, and those cost just £3 each. Remember, the Cookstown Church is hosting a special praise service, and that's this coming Thursday night, Thursday the 9th. It's at 7:30 in their church building. Our brother Sam Houston from the Hillsborough Church, Sam has produced a new recording. It's available in both CD and DVD. All of the proceeds from it are going to the Lord's work. So they're having a special praise service to help promote that new launch. They launched it officially down in the Hillsborough Church just a couple of weeks ago. So the Reverend Leckie and his wife Cherith will also be taking part, and her sister, Mrs. Amanda Reid. So if you're able, please go down and give your support to it. Remember, the literature, take time to look for it as you're leaving. The latest denominational magazine, the copy of The Vision, The Watching and Waiting, the LTBS Quarterly, and also the calendar for 2022, that's £3.50. The latest Missionary Council prayer calendar, with all the varying prayer requests, one for every day of the month, just to help us keep the missionary work before the Lord. So there's copies of that available at the door as well. Remember, the Way of Life calendars, if there's any of those that are still there, those are free of charge. Take them and give them out to your families. And finally, just to emphasize that the free will offering envelopes for 2022 are in the porch. Take yours as you're going from the meeting. Remember, if you'd like to sign up for the free will offering scheme coming into the new year, speak to our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, about that. I think those are all the announcements we need to make to you tonight. We're going to sing another hymn together, a lovely children's hymn that's very appropriate for a service such as this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. So it's the hymn 692. Again, the words are on the screen, and we're standing as we worship, please.
Are
We're going to bow just together again in prayer. Father, we do praise thee for your love towards us. We thank you for Calvary, the greatest demonstration of love that this world of ours has ever known. We want to thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave and sent your Son to be our Savior. We would want to say to thee tonight in the words of the Apostle, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We want to pray, Father, that even in this meeting tonight, that our hearts will be touched and melted by the love of Christ for sinners. We want to pray, Father, that you'll come amongst us. We want to pray that you'll come and speak. We want to pray that it will be so as it was in the home of Zacchaeus, that salvation might come to this house, even this very night. Father, hear our prayers. And we just plead now that the Spirit of God in all his power will descend upon the preaching of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 27, please, the first verse. We invite you to open the scriptures at that place. It's our text in the gospel tonight. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In the Greek Empire, those many, many years ago, there was a king called Archaeus. He was a very selfish man. Especially, he had no thought for the poor in his kingdom. Never once did he try to help them or to alleviate their circumstances. The result of that was that the people hated their king, and they longed for his overthrow. At last, a band of men came together, and they plotted to assassinate the king, to assassinate their ruler. But because Archaeus wasn't in touch with his people, he knew absolutely nothing of what was being planned. But he had a friend in Athens who discovered the plot, and immediately he wrote to Archaeus, told him what was happening, he told him what was being planned, and he gave to the king the names of those involved in the assassination attempt. The messenger who delivered the letter, he was given strict instructions not to rest until the king had the letter in his hand. And when the messenger arrived at the palace, the king was holding another one of his drunken parties. The messenger was brought in before him, and he began by saying, "My lord, the one who sends you this letter earnestly begs you to read it at once, as it speaks of serious things." But the king was drunk. He was in no mood to read the letter. He never thought of the warning that it contained. But he laughed, and he cast the letter to the side, and he foolishly declared, "Serious things tomorrow." But you know, his tomorrow never came. Because that very night, as the king continued eating, drinking, dancing, the assassins came into the palace, ran towards him. They plunged the dagger into his breast, and he fell down before them to his death. Serious things tomorrow. That, men and women, is a mistake that has been made all the time. There are people who are continually putting off the most important decisions of their life, and they put them off until tomorrow. And that is especially true in the matter of salvation. There are so many that realize their need of Christ. They need to be saved. They're in absolutely no doubt of that fact, but they say, tomorrow. And maybe that's what you've been doing. Maybe that's the way that you have been living. If it is, listen carefully to the warning of the Scriptures. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The warning, men and women, of the passage, the warning of the text is, tomorrow for you could be eternity. And that's the theme, that's the title of the gospel message tonight. Let's think just for a few minutes about tomorrow. You'll notice in the text, first of all, the mystery. The text says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." There is, men and women, a great mystery about tomorrow. And the mystery is, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Isn't it true to say, man has an obsession with the future? That has always been the case. You think of King Saul, the first king of Israel. Why was it that he went to see the witch at Endor? Remember, she's the only witch named in the scriptures. So why was it that he went to see the witch? Well, he wanted to know what tomorrow would bring. He wanted to know the outcome of the battle that he was going to fight on Mount Gilboa against the Philistines. So man has always had an obsession with the future. And it still happens, even today in modern times. Isn't there a vast interest today in fortune-telling, tarot cards, horoscopes, reading the stars, the Ouija boards, and so on? Why is that, men and women? It's because people want to know about the future. They want to know what life will hold for me. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week? What will happen next year? How will the future unfold? What circumstances will it bring? And especially they want to know, will I become rich? Remember, that's the idea behind the title, the name Fortune Tellers. People want to know, am I going to strike it lucky? Am I going to make it rich? So people have a fascination about tomorrow. But the reality, men and women, you don't know. You don't know what lies ahead. The text teaches us that. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Just think of that. You don't know what the rest of this day, the few hours that remain of it, will bring for you. You don't know what the next day, tomorrow, Monday, of this week will hold. Oh, you've plans, you've appointments, you have fears, you have concerns for the future. But the fact, the reality that is before each one of us is, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what will happen on the morrow. You know, there are many things man does know in this modern world in which we're found. Many things that man has been able to find out. He's made great discoveries in science, medicine, technology. So there are many things that man has been able to find out. But here, men and women, is something of a mystery. Here's something that man has never discovered, and he never will. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds. Didn't James teach the same truth in his little letter, his little epistle? Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Tomorrow's not far away, just a few hours. But none of us knows what will be on the morrow. So just take that in, men and women. You think you do, you hope you do, but the reality is you don't. You don't know. That's the great dilemma that we're all faced with. And there's not a man or a woman. It doesn't matter whether they're a witch or a wizard, a medium or a mystic, a spiritist or a scientist. There's not a man or a woman that is able to tell you what lies ahead. God has told us all about future events at the time of the end in the prophetic scriptures. We ought to study those very, very carefully. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto we do well that ye take heed. But as far as your life is concerned, tomorrow, men and women, is a mystery. You don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what events tomorrow will bring. You don't know what will take place. God has hidden it from you. So here's the mystery. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. And then there's the mistake. The text says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Boasting's never a wise thing to do. But it's especially foolish. It's a great mistake to boast about tomorrow. I wonder if you've done that. Boasted where you'll be. Boasted what you'll do. Boasted about tomorrow or the future. You think that you have plenty of time. You presume that you'll live longer. You presume that you'll live beyond today. So as a result of that presumption, you defer, you put off certain tasks, certain decisions. We sometimes call that procrastination. It's waiting, putting off, leaving until another day. It's something that's done all the time. I'll do it tomorrow. Isn't that a common response that we all hear? Do it tomorrow. But you know, when it comes to salvation, men and women, there's nothing more foolish. Oh, you know you need to be saved. And you plan, you intend to be saved. But your attitude is, not now, not today, not at this moment, not in this meeting. Can I warn you? In God's name tonight, that's a mistake. That's a very serious mistake. There's at least three reasons the Word of God gives why that is a serious mistake. Why it's a serious mistake to think that you can be saved tomorrow, to think that you can be saved in the future. Let me mention them to you quickly. One is, you may not live to see tomorrow. Just take that in. You may not live to see another day dawn, regardless of your age, regardless of your state of health. You may not be spared to see tomorrow. Billy Sunday, the famous American evangelist, you remember before he was converted, he was one of the most famous baseball players in the United States of America. He had a teammate that was called Frank Flint. Whenever Frank was dying, the doctor came in, examined him. He spoke to Frank's wife. He said to her, "He'll not live long. You need to go and tell him." His wife didn't want to do it. She asked the doctor to do it. He said, "No. He's your wife. You need to do it." She didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to break the news. She thought about it for a moment, and then she came over beside his bed, and she gently, just softly said to him, "Frank, it's not long until the umpire calls you out." And men and women, that's how it is with you. You're not going to live very long. You're not going to be here much longer upon this earth. It's not long until you'll be called out, till your life is over. Can I remind you tonight that death can come suddenly? You remember what the psalmist said? In the morning it flourisheth and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Do you see, men and women, the change just one day can bring? In the morning it's flourishing, it's strong, it's in good health. But in the evening time, cut down and it's taken away. Death can be sudden. It can be unexpected. Sir Walter Scott, the famous Scottish writer, on just the day before his own death, he was writing in his diary. These were the words that he penned. "Tomorrow we shall..." He was making plans for the next day. He never finished the sentence, because tomorrow he was dead, gone from this scene of time. So remember, the same thing could happen to you. It's a mistake to put off getting saved until tomorrow, because you may not live to see tomorrow dawn. Another reason why it's a mistake to put off getting saved until tomorrow is because God may not speak to you tomorrow. Remember the psalmist, "Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Just think for a moment, men and women, of the silence of God. Isn't that a sobering thought? When you no longer hear God's voice, when you no longer hear the Lord speak to your heart, and you need to realize this evening, God can stop speaking to a person. What will happen then if God stops speaking? Well, the verse is clear about it. They go down to the pit. In other words, they're damned. They go to hell for all eternity. I want to stress to you tonight, men and women, you cannot be saved when you want. You cannot be saved when you like. You can only be saved when the Spirit of God is speaking. And here's the reality. God can speak to a person for the last time. There is such a thing as the final call. There is such a thing as the final opportunity, the final invitation to salvation. Aaron Burr, he was the third vice president of the United States of America. He was also a grandson of the very famous revival preacher Jonathan Edwards. Whenever Aaron Burr was a young man, he studied at the famous Princeton University. You know, there was a revival going on in the university at that time. There was a move of God. Aaron Burr was challenged. He was concerned about his spiritual state and about his soul. And he went to see the president of the university just to ask his advice about spiritual things, about his soul. The president told him, wait until all the excitement of the revival is over, and then think things through carefully. You know, men and women, that was very foolish advice. Aaron Burr thought for a moment. He said, that's what I'll do. Do you know the result? Never again, and he lived for many years after that. But never again did he ever have a concern. Never again did he ever express a desire about a soul and a desire to become a child of God. What happened, men and women? God stopped speaking. God was silent unto him. And Aaron Burr, to the day he died, never made any profession of God's salvation. And men and women, I say to you tonight, if you're not careful, the same thing will happen to you. Remember, God may be speaking to you today. That's a mercy. But that's no guarantee that God will be speaking to you again tomorrow. The other reason why it's foolish, a mistake, to put off getting saved tomorrow is because your heart will be harder tomorrow. The book of Hebrews says, today, notice, not tomorrow, today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. You know, there are two choices that you have every time you hear the word of God, every time you hear the gospel preached. Let me alliterate them for you. The two choices are either you hear his voice or you harden your heart. So which will it be for you tonight? Can I stress to you, men and women, every day you wait, your heart gets harder towards the things of God. Do you remember the story of the plagues in Egypt? Remember that there was the plague of frogs. The frogs were everywhere, in the kitchen, in the kneading troughs when they were baking the bread. They were in Pharaoh's bed when he was retiring for the night. Do you remember that he called Moses and Aaron and he pleaded with them to pray to the Lord to take the frogs away? Moses said, when? You'd have thought he would have replied immediately, without delay. Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Remember, that's always the attitude of people towards God's salvation. But here's the question, men and women. What was Pharaoh's spiritual condition tomorrow when all the frogs were gone? Did he repent? Did he humble himself? No, here's what the Word of God says. He hardened himself. And you know, for you, it'll be the same. If you reject Christ, again in this meeting tonight, tomorrow your heart will be harder towards God than it is today. Tomorrow, you will have less interest in spiritual things than you have tonight. You know, many have the idea that it'll be easier to be saved, easier to repent, easier to confess Christ, easier to live the Christian life tomorrow. That's a mistake, men and women. You know, Felix trembled. Felix was troubled about his soul. And his reply, his response to the message of the Apostle Paul that day was, some more convenient time. He's saying, there will be a better time. There will be an easier time. There will be a more suitable time for me to get saved. Men and women, that's a lie of the devil. It does not get easier. It never gets easier to come to Christ. It gets harder. And you know the reason why it gets harder? Because your heart gets harder towards the things of God. So it's a mistake to think that you'll be saved tomorrow. On the night of the great Chicago fire, you remember Mr. Moody sent the congregation away after he had preached on what shall I do then with Jesus? He sent them away to think about the message that he had preached that night. And he said, next week, we will ask you, what will you do with Jesus? But many of the people in the congregation that evening, they died, they perished in the great fires that swept right across the city of Chicago not long after that meeting was over. D.L. Moody was heartbroken. He said it was the greatest mistake of his life and of his ministry to send those people away to think for a week about their response to the gospel message. You think of that, men and women. And if you're not saved tonight, the greatest mistake of your life is to put off getting saved until tomorrow. The salvation of your precious soul. Heed the warning, men and women, of the text. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. It's a mistake to boast about where you'll be, what you'll do, what you think you'll do when tomorrow dawns. The final thing in the text, we thought of the mystery, the mistake. What of the message? What is the message of the text, men and women? What is God saying to us? What is God saying to you tonight from this verse of Scripture, especially to you who are without the Savior? Well, the message is this, men and women. The message is you need to be saved. And you need to be saved today. If you're not to boast of tomorrow, the reason that you're not to boast about tomorrow is because you need to act today. You need to act right away. Tomorrow has not come. Tomorrow is not yours. Tomorrow is not in your hands. It's not in your grasp. Therefore, what you must do is make use of today, the time that you have, the opportunity that is now presented to you, the time that you're sure of. You know, it's vital that you attend to serious things at once. And there's no more serious thing than the salvation of your soul. You think of Lot. The Bible says of Lot that they lingered. Imagine that. What folly. They were in danger. The judgment of God, the terrible judgment of God was about to fall upon those cities. The fires of God's wrath was going to rain down upon them from heaven. But they delayed, they held back. And maybe that's what you have been doing. You have been holding back as well. Do you remember the words of the angel to Lot? Haste thee, escape thither. And men and women, that's the message of God to you today. Haste thee. You've lingered, you've delayed long enough already. And now what you need to do is hurry, hasten into the kingdom of God, or you'll be doomed. You'll be lost for all eternity. You know, there's urgency with the gospel. It's interesting, the word urgent is only found twice in all the Word of God. It's recorded in the book of Exodus in connection with the children of Israel's departure from the land of Egypt. And the other is to do with the fiery furnace, recorded for us in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. It says the king's commandment was urgent. And men and women, this commandment, this business of your salvation, it's urgent. In fact, there's nothing more urgent. There's no time to spare. There's no time to delay. Do you remember the words of our motto text? We quoted it at the end of the message this morning. It is time to seek the Lord. It's not that it will be time. The message is now is the time to be saved. As Joshua in his final message to the children of Israel said, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Don't wait, men and women. Don't wait any longer. Don't even wait another day. Alexander the Great was once asked, how did he conquer the then known world? The answer that he gave was this, by not delaying. And men and women, how will you obtain forgiveness of sins? How will you find a place in heaven? Well, the answer is exactly the same, by not delaying. I want to urge that upon you tonight, men and women. Don't delay getting saved. There's danger. There's death, eternal death, in delay. Serious things tomorrow. What a folly that is. I want to warn you, just as I finish tonight, don't put off until tomorrow what you can, what you must do today. I appeal to you earnestly in the light of eternity. Do it now, my friend. Be saved today, immediately, even in this meeting, ere you go from the house of God tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May the Lord write his word upon every heart tonight. 490 is our closing hymn, Frances Ridley Havergal's great hymn of challenge and consecration. She was known as the consecration poet. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. We'll stand as we sing the hymn together, please.
Pray, let go.
Let's just pray together as we close. Father, with praise in our hearts, we thank you for the meeting tonight. We thank you for the blessing of God upon it. We thank you we've known your presence with us from the very outset. We ask the Father to speak on to hearts. We pray that you'll be gracious, merciful, especially to those that are still out of Christ. We pray, Father, that you'll reach down tonight and by your grace and mercy bring others to the foot of the cross, bring others to Christ in salvation. Lord, we ask thee to bless very clearly, definitely the message that has gone forth tonight. We pray that we'll know the power of the gospel displayed in this meeting, the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We give ourselves into your hands, praying, Father, that you'll go with us. We pray that you'll write these words upon our hearts tonight. We're conscious that our time is short. We must work the works of him that sent us. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So, Lord, our desire would be you'll give us this heart of consecration. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. So part us, Father, in thy fear with thy favor. And we pray that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.